Here's a story from The World.
When the verdicts came down in Minneapolis yesterday, they were heard across the globe.
In the above entitled matter as to count three, second-degree manslaughter, culpable negligence, creating an unreasonable risk, find the defendant guilty. This verdict.
Derek Chauvin guilty on all three charges in the murder of George Floyd. Over the past year, the case has not just made international headlines, it also brought people out into streets and parks across the world to make their voices heard. The World's Bianca Hillier starts us off today, reporting on this global movement.
Say his name!
George Floyd!
Say his name!
Cries of support for Black Lives Matter reverberated through countless cities in the 330 days since George Floyd was murdered. From Paris to Perth to Nairobi.
Police brutality down!
Yeah!
Down with funding!
Yeah!
Millions poured into the streets to stand in solidarity with Black Americans and demand justice for George Floyd. But oftentimes, these protests also prompted people to look inward and revive calls for justice where they live. That's what happened in Japan. Following George Floyd's murder, thousands showed up for Tokyo's largest ever march for Black Lives. At the time, Black Americans there told me Japanese people generally viewed racism as an American problem. Since then, some say there's been real improvement.
A lot of Japanese people who weren't aware why tension was heightened so much, after they saw the video, they kind of got it.
Bae McNeil is a Black American writer who has lived in Japan since 2004.
And I think they were more open to listening to Black voices than before.
For example, McNeil says, Japanese broadcaster NHK has made steps in the right direction. After receiving major criticism for airing racist programming last summer, the station has had the Black Lives Matter founders on national TV and aired shows talking about the racism that Black, biracial Japanese people deal with. McNeil has teamed up with the Black Lives Matter group in Tokyo and takes part in public panels to spread awareness of racial prejudice. They're in Japanese, and he says people are listening.
I think significant strides have been made in that regard, yes. I want more, of course. We always want more, but you can't overlook that there has been progress, so that's fantastic.
The Black Lives Matter movement also picked up across Italy. Ariam Tekle, a Black Italian, was at this June protest in Milan. She says Italians were talking about the video of Floyd's murder and denouncing anti-Black racism. But a few weeks later, it fell out of public discussion.
The problem in Italy is that we see what is happening in U.S., but we are not seeing what is happening in Italy. And for us, it was a very important moment to speak up about our situation here as Black Italians.
That situation, widespread racism, hasn't changed much over the past year, Tekle says. She and other Black Italians have created their own spaces to talk and organize, but Italian institutions haven't kept up.
For the Italian society, I'm not sure they understand the problem.
Tekle added that she didn't see much media coverage of the Derek Chauvin trial over the past few weeks, but the verdict did make headlines.
Yesterday night, it was all over the news.
Sandy Hudson, co-founder of Black Lives Matter Canada, has been watching the news from L.A., where she's attending law school. Hearing the verdict, she says, left her feeling hollow.
Because to me, yes, of course, the verdict had to be guilty, but that doesn't bring George Floyd back. And it doesn't stop the way that police continue to target, harm, and kill members of our community.
While Hudson has been in the U.S. throughout 2020, most of her activism is still rooted in Canada. She's had a unique view of both countries as each reckon with institutional racism, and thinks Canadians are closer to defunding the police than Americans are.
There's been far less pushback in Canada. And I think the way that our public discussion has happened has been a lot more honest than the public discussion in the United States, where there was a lot of resistance to just the phrase defund the police.
Those discussions turned into action in Calgary, where part of the police budget was reallocated to different social agencies. Hudson calls this a win. But similar to the U.S., she says, Canada hasn't progressed in all the ways activists would like to see.
There have been measures like more body cameras in certain places in Canada, which is something that activists generally oppose because it doesn't help. You know, George Floyd, you know, there was a body camera involved there. We want the killing to stop, not to be able to watch them all.
Still, Hudson says the global uprisings, including those in Canada, have clearly impacted the general population's willingness to talk about racism.
You know, as activists, we go to work, we get on phone calls, we say, like, can we make this the time? Can we make this the moment? And then seeing that pick up across the world, it inspired some hope in me for, like, a shift in culture.
Hudson says changing culture, more than new laws or even a guilty verdict, is the strongest step toward lasting change across the globe. For The World, I'm Bianca Hillier.